Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
The competition is keen.
I don't know, fellas. I think there's potential in this crowd.
Every game counts.
I'll put a game plan together and we're going to win.
That's why Dusty and Cam have poured countless hours of research into their pro football predictions.
It was fiercely fought, but frightfully flawed.
Well, anyway, this is the Change Realty NFL Challenge, a competition between the Fan Air staff, the Junior Fan Genius, and you. Presented by Change Realty, home with a 1% listing fee, and by Bud Light. The NFL Challenge with Dusty and Cam, and Crawford's here too, on 1080.
Let's go find out if they're ready today.
The Fan.
Headbutted right now.
I feel like whenever the
he
bells
just
play,
the wall.
I feel like pumped. I'm like a EDM DJ when the beat drops and all the kids go wild.
Can you describe what the bells do for you? Does the chills come through your spine?
You can't even put together a sentence when it happens.
It's like this eruption.
Yeah, it's like an eruption. It's like Mount Vesuvius.
I do like nothing.
It gets you going, huh?
It does.
It gets you going.
I would have slapped you in the face, said you're an idiot.
It is our Change Realty NFL Challenge, home with a 1% listing fee, full service, great value. Go to changerealtynow.com. There are only two games this weekend in the National Football League. They are the AFC and NFC Championships. Nooner on Fox is the Green Bay Packers at the Atlanta Falcons. Did you see the guy who took his wife's last name to have the last name Packer?
I did see that. Fan? That was wonderful. He's a Packers fan. Why wouldn't you? If your wife's name is Packers, is it Packer or Packers?
Packer.
Oh, okay. Well, either way.
But they're the Packers now.
Yeah, just right? Plural it. Yeah, because there are multiple of them.
Do you have
kids and it's the Packer family.
Do you have to name like your child Gerald Benjamin Packer so he's GB Packer?
Oh, yeah. They all have to have GB.
Yeah. That'd be wonderful.
Gary
Busey Packer.
Oh.
So you name him after an 80s icon.
Maybe even go
and
Geronimo Brett Packer. Name him after
those families
Packers
that
player.
All have to have the same family names. They all have to start with the same letter.
Yeah.
Some families all even have the same first name.
George Foreman?
Yes. Lance Stevenson.
My buddy who's
that's
last,
lazy is what that is.
I have a buddy whose middle name starts with a B. So his name is Kellen B. Quick.
Ah.
It's a cool name.
It's Kellen B. Quick.
World
Kellen
be free.
I like it.
World be free, right?
I don't know if that was his given name.
All right. Anyways, they're in Atlanta where the Falcon family, I do not know of any men that took the last name Falcon, though that is a badass name too. Like, that's a really cool name.
Joey Falcon.
I've never known of anybody's last name is Falcon.
Like, would you take your wife's last name if her last name was Husky? Like, that's not a name that you really want.
That would
the
have
Husky
been
family?
Cameron Husky.
I don't know if I like the Husky.
Right?
Although, there's a lot worse out there.
But if you're
trust me.
Crawford would embrace the Beaver family for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'd marry a Beaver.
All right. So the Falcons welcome in the Packers at noon on Fox. Who you got in this one?
I don't know. Roger Goodell's going to be there.
Rog, yeah, because he's afraid to go to New England.
He's afraid to go to Foxborough.
He
hey, Roger.
Literally is afraid to go to Foxborough.
No, of course he is, because he's going to get, murdered. He'd get thrown.
Assaulted, verbally. Verbally,
well,
definitely.
He'd have to have a major
possibly.
Security staff there.
It would be verbally, definitely, physically, possibly.
Yeah. I would be very concerned if I was Roger Goodell and I was going to head to Foxborough. So why not go to Atlanta? And I guess kiss the Georgia Dome goodbye because that place is a dump. I like I like the Falcons in this game.
Do you really?
I do. I like this. Aaron Rodgers is good. I picked the Cowboys last week, and they almost got it done. I don't want to pick consistently against Aaron Rodgers twice, and this isn't a knock on that. I just think the Falcons are deeper across the board. I think they are. I mean, one man is excellent.
They are.
I just think they have more talent. I think this might be one of those things where I see Dan Quinn as Pete Carroll a few years ago with what he had started with the Falcons. He's got this team, what Pete Carroll was doing with Seattle. I just see a little bit of that in there. Yeah. There's something exciting. Yeah. Matt Ryan, he's electric, and it's in the Georgia Dome. And we do remember, though, the last time Matt Ryan had to face Aaron Rodgers in the Georgia Dome. He won a big, significant playoff game. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers torched him.
Yeah. I'm going to go. I think that Atlanta is better, but the same reason I went with the Packers last week against Dallas. Hot hand, let's go.
Okay, riding the hot hand.
Give me Aaron and Geronimo. And did you say Jordy's going to play?
No,
he hasn't said anything.
It was Devontae Adams.
Devontae Adams and Geronimo.
He's got severely broken ribs. Jordy Nelson does.
Yeah, and they say there's no way he can play with that. Duh. But then I heard one guy say, "But it's Jordy Nelson, so you never know."
I've played with broken ribs. It just takes a needle.
All right.
And tore it all.
And not being worried about puncturing your lung.
True.
All right. Give me Green Bay in that game.
Give me the Falcons, by the way.
I'll give them to you.
Green Bay is thin. Green Bay is like a generic blonde Instagram model. Thin, wasting away. Hmm. The Falcons are thick, deep.
Okay. I don't know where this is going.
I'm just saying.
It's not an innuendo here.
No,
Vic,
I'm just. I was making a metaphor.
I've never heard it describe a football team as thick.
Like they're. A metaphor to just say the Falcons have a lot more going. Green Bay is thin. It took a miraculous all-time performance from Aaron Rodgers for them to beat the Cowboys. Yeah. I don't think they can replicate it against the Falcons. And let me also start off by saying we're in for a real treat in the world of quarterback play this weekend.
We really are. We got four of the best playing.
It's the most combined Super Bowl appearances between the four quarterbacks on this weekend
ever. Very excited.
Mm-hmm. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
And one of the guys doesn't have one at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Ben and Tom do a good job of propping that number up.
You looked at the quarterbacks that have been playing since 2000. It's either Brady or Roethlisberger or
Peyton Manning.
If you look down the list of AFC championship game quarterback duels, it's impressive. It's impressive.
Yeah, it's all
timers. Pretty ridiculous. All right, in the AFC, let's go over there. The New England Patriots host the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Be wicked good.
3:40 kick on the CBS network in Foxborough. It's supposed to be 47, partly cloudy. Perfect. Even though both of these teams are outdoor cold weather teams,
yeah.
I think we know where I'm going with this.
Yes, we do. Homered up.
New England.
Okay, and I'm staying with my pick, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's right. You've been saying that since
that since August.
Yeah.
I've been on the Steelers train. I think they go to the Super Bowl. I don't think the Patriots defense is good enough.
Saying that for months.
I know you do. I do. And I don't want to discredit them. But let's think about this. The Texans showed a little bit of weakness. I think the fact that Patriots knew they were so much better than the Texans, they didn't get up for that game as much as they should have. They'll be up for this game. This is going to be an epic game, folks.
Yeah.
This is going to be one for the memory books.
I think both these games are going to be incredible. I cannot wait. I don't even care about the Super Bowl. Just give me this Sunday. Give me that dopamine, and I'm going with the Patriots. I think it's also going to be a great game. I know Tom Brady showed a little bit of vulnerability against the Texans. They also have a great defense, but I just don't see the Patriots losing at home. I got to go with a Falk-pa Super Bowl. Falcons-Patriots. Let's go.
I will say this. Take the over. Over-under is at 51.
Yeah, take that over.
Yeah. Take the over.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh's defense
is not bad. It's going to be clear in 46.
This is going to be in the 30s. This bad boy is going to be playing in the 30s for each team, and it'll be a tight game. That game's going to be a fun one to watch. I think both of these games are going to be a slugfest.
And I think whatever Super Bowl matchup we end up with, we're in for a real treat.
Mm-hmm. You're real into the treats right now.
Man, no, I just...
Yeah, your innuendos and treats
I'm looking at this week.
Girth and... where are you at, Crawford, today?
Hey, we're all... I think we're all somewhere today. And...
I think there's a grill on your mind right now.
I think there is.
Yeah.
Something on your mind?
Lady Luck this weekend with this... How lucky we are for this game. No, just... This is the...
Yeah,
this is
a nice trip, bud.
How are you going to watch these games?
Probably on television.
gonna watch them with friends? Are you gonna watch them at home by yourself?
Oh no, I'm gonna watch them with friends.
You gonna stream it on your phone?
No. I might be a millennial, but I still have the cord connected. I'm gonna watch them on my big screen TV with my buddies.
About watch it on the TV. Have a perspective.
What are you gonna do?
What am I gonna do?
That was a perfect answer. You're Mr. Literal, and he went over literal on you.
He went over literal.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's all about
response.
Who are your good buddies that you're going to sit around and watch this
game.
Who's
going to be into the game?
Right.
Who's want to high five
I don't want to sit around. I don't want to have kids running around while I'm watching. I want there to be focus.
Okay. Yeah, I don't do that. What I do is I don't want to watch this with very many people. Because people talking ruin it for me. Because I got a dog in the fight here, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Of course
yeah.
I got my team is playing.
Yeah.
And I hate it when people ruin my viewing experience of my team.
Or ask you questions.
Yeah.
At all times?
Yeah, I had a great experience last weekend, though, because we had a couple friends come over. My buddy was a big Seahawk fan.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched that game with him before, and we watched the Patriots game, had a little doubleheader there. But no, this is real go time. You know, they were going to beat Texans. You know,
I don't want to have to look at someone next to me on the couch and say, oh, did you see that? Like, I want to instantly be high-fiving them.
Right.
Great. All right. That's our Change Realty NFL Challenge, home of the 1% listing fee. Full service, great value. Go to changerealtynow.com today. But before you do that, go to 1080thefan.com and sign up to play the Change Realty NFL Challenge and play along with us at home. How do you stop a downward spiral after last night's loss in Charlotte? We'll bring you the alarming quotes from the Blazers locker room. 55305 is the text line. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
The Portland Trailblazers lost a tough one last night, a confusing one, 107-85 to the Charlotte Hornets. The bugaboo that plagued this team the previous two games was very slow starts, ridiculously slow starts last night. The Blazers outscored the Hornets 26-23 in the first quarter and then got outscored 31-20 in the second and 28-13 in the fourth quarters.
Yikes.
It was a tough, very tough game to watch.
13 points in the fourth quarter.
After whittling away a lead and getting it to 7 right before the end of the third.
Just fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I have a huge question mark on my face. Just fourth quarter, really. The most important time, closing games when you need to be, offensively, defensively.
Yeah. There's something wrong. We talked about this yesterday, right? Is that we're talking about what this team is. And they are the team that was last year, but it's just not right. You know, there's just not that same chutzpah about them.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't that, and it's energy is what it is. It is energy. And this was brought up last night as we were talking, as you're watching the game and you're going, where is that riding the wave of momentum?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that at? And they were asked about this after the game. And I thought that Damian Lillard and Mason Plumlee gave two very thoughtful answers and honest answers to doing just that. And kind of, people call it chemistry. No. It is. It's energy. What's going wrong with them?
I don't think our energy is good, man. Honestly, I think it is in spurts. I think we'll rally sometimes, but it's not sustained, and that has to change.
Where does one find that type of energy?
I couldn't tell you. You just got to want it. You just got to want it.
How about that from Mason Plumlee?
No, he sees it. I'm telling you, Mason Plumlee's the only one out there playing with an edge. Playing with desire, playing a game where you can just see the man wants to compete at all times, going for rebounds, blocks, finishing, passing, taking the ball up the court. He sees it, and he's deserved it now because he's been in the league enough, and he's a bona fide starter in this league and a quality center.
That is a tough thing to hear one of your players say. What is missing?
Energy.
What is missing? He says it at the very end. You just got to want it. You just got to want it. Jason Quick of CSN asks him, what is it they do to change that? And he says, you just got to want it.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that comment. I mean, think about that. He's saying, we're not riding those waves. When things go good, we're not propping each other up. We're not capitalizing on those. It's not that tenacity. It's not a fire. And he says at the very end of it, the answer is you just got to want it.
I want to ask you this question, and you tell me if this is what, when you're an athlete, you get to this level, and I'm going to beat this drum till it dead in the face, because it's the only thing I can think of that's changed. This team needs to find internal motivation. You need to be motivated as a professional athlete, some way, somehow. Once you get to the top level, you need to be motivated by what? Financial gain is your number one motivation to start. Yeah. To get to the highest level, you have to have something that gets you to that level. Well, talent is number one. Number two is you have to have intrinsic motivation, and then you have to have a goal. Well, everybody's goal in this country is to make more money and to be rewarded for your success. Every one of these guys got rewarded. When that happens, and we've seen it, I've seen it, it happens, you do this. You take a breath.
Mm-hmm.
You take a breath. Everybody on this team got rewarded. And if you don't think that there's enough reason to believe that a bunch of these guys on this team have taken a relaxer pill from, I got locked in, I'm okay, we're all right. There's that breath of comfort, understanding it, and seeing the energy. Because Mason Plumlee says, you just got to want it. Mm-hmm. Well, if every day what motivates you is your wallet, there's a difference between having the guys on your team that isn't about the wallet. It's about the want of being better than everybody else.
You know the biggest problem with what you just said, what it is? Players won't admit it. That's
of course the issue. That is.
And the front office will never admit it either, because they're the ones that gave them the money.
Of course there is. They don't have enough. There's not enough guys with enough balls to tell you that I don't play for money. I play for the love of the game. BS. You play for the reward financially and to be able to be with your friends and compete at the highest level. But it starts with the financial security of it.
Now, here's my question. With that being said about this Blazer team, is it something inherently wrong with this roster? Because it wasn't like the Blazers were the only team that spent money. Everybody else in the NBA was throwing money around like it was Monopoly money.
But you spent money on youth.
Funny cash.
You spent money on youth.
That's the difference there.
Absolutely. Where is your veteran leadership? Where is it? Where is your guys that have been to the finals? Where's guys that have been to the playoff runs? Where is that guy that knows on a team? Well, Festus Ezeli came in, and he was on a championship team, but he didn't compete. But when he spoke up, everyone told him to shut up.
Well, yeah, that's because he isn't playing and he's hurt.
I don't disagree. I understand that. But yeah, where is your leadership? Where is your guys that have been in that?
Here's the leader of the team, Damian Lillard, talking after the game.
I think our energy has to be much better, more consistently. When things go well, it's typical, you know, for every team. I think when things go well, you know, that comes with energy. You're making shots, you're stopping the other team, you get energy from that because you feel good about what you're doing. But I don't think we're giving ourselves enough situations to feel good about what we're doing often enough.
Boom. Riding the wave, capturing momentum. Like, winning can turn that around, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if what you're talking about is true, and I tend to believe you, is that you don't have the veteran leadership, enough of the veterans that have been there, that have turned it around, that have done this before. Mm-hmm. The thing that changes it is winning, right? And winning on a consistent basis. Like, that's why people look to the Lakers in Cleveland back-to-back and say, is that the turning point? Is that what it is going to be? But that is the energy that they're talking about, where it is that, as you were talking about the exhale when you get paid, there's almost like this been this exhale of, all right, we've turned that corner, and then we find ourselves back in these little...
There's no exhaling.
These stretches. Yeah. You can't have it.
You can't.
And energy and effort are different. Those are different things. Because effort, last night, I thought they played with great effort to start the game. Because they win that first quarter, they buck that trend of what had been plaguing them, which is starting ice cold shooting. Well, they haul in, what, 6 offensive rebounds, 8 offensive rebounds in the first quarter alone, and they create extra opportunities at the rim when the outside shot wasn't falling.
Yeah.
Well, then in this, they didn't ride that wave of, hey, we're fighting, we're doing this. In the second quarter, shots didn't fall, and what happened? They just kind of threw their hands up, and it was like, here we go again. And they didn't capture that energy and move it forward.
when a team like the Blazers face other teams that are comparable or above them, talent-wise, do you have somebody on that roster right now that you can go and you look, and this looks to Dame, you're the $150 million man. We have to look to you. You have to be able to take over the game and say, get on my back. And the pressure is now there. And that's understandable. But that, and I think Dame embraces that. And I think he knows it.
No
doubt. We're not saying anything that he doesn't feel. That's the weight of the pressure of being a captain, a starter, a potential all-star, and a bona fide superstar. If you're going to carry that weight, you have to be able to pull your team and elevate them at times when there's no energy. You have to be able to make a shot. You have to be able to get a stop. You have to be able to bring those guys energy level.
I'm not looking for it.
Yeah, I'm not looking for Al Frucamina to do it. I'm not looking for CJ, because CJ has a I don't want to call it a docile demeanor. He doesn't have that grit. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's an excellent player. He's a great shooter. He doesn't have an edge. Where's your enforcer? Where's your spark plug on that team? Is it Myers Leonard? Is Myers Leonard the only one who wants to fight everybody out there?
No.
Who
because,
is it?
You know, in 55305, and I'll say no to Myers Leonard because he did not take open looks last night. There's open looks that he's passing up.
It's confidence.
And that is a huge problem with this team, is that those two guys that you look to and that you want to turn to, all Charlotte did was take those two away and dare everybody else to beat them last night, and they couldn't do it.
When you have elite talent, nobody should be able to take you away.
A lot of double teams on Lillard and McCollum last night, and a lot of missed open looks. All right, who is it? Where's the stop, and how do you stop this downward spiral? And finally, one mood in kind of thought about this team, first time we've actually heard it, has changed. Here, Dustin Cam, here's Crawford of SportsCenter.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
Can't stop, addicted to the shindig. Chop, chop. All right, 55305. Who is that guy? Portland Trail Blazers. This text says, by leader of the team, do you mean the biggest paycheck? Lillard sucks. I don't think Lillard sucks. He's second team All-NBA and he wants to be in Portland, so. Not a lot of those guys were rolling around Portland, right?
Yeah, no.
Or around the NBA period.
No. Damian is a leader.
Mm-hmm. He is
the leader.
So. But I think vocally right now, the guy that has the biggest semblance of answers is Mason Plumlee. Mm-hmm. He's articulating it very well. And he said something last night that is kind of a change from what we've heard out of the Blazers locker room. And something that's changed, maybe changing in the public perception.
Mace, where do you figure the magic that you guys played with last year has gone to?
Well, you know, I think we just have to stop. Obviously, it's easy for the media to want to talk about last year. Like, as a group, we have to let last year go. You know, if it was the first 10 games of the season, we could talk about building on last year, but it's a new team, it's a new group, and we aren't playing how we did last year, so... it's a new season, new challenges. We have to make the most of this group and this team and the situation we're in.
What do you think of that?
Letting it go. I agree with it.
I think it's very interesting. He's saying we can't look at last year's team.
Mm-hmm.
We're not last year's team. Remember early in this year, how many times did we hear out of the locker room? And he says, you know, the media wants to make a big deal of it. We also heard it out of that locker room quite often. Hey, we turned it around last year. We're just waiting for that, you know, things to click this year.
Yeah.
And there almost seemed like there was this reliance that it happened last year. It'll happen this year.
Mm-hmm.
He just comes out and he says, no, we can't do that. We cannot do that anymore and any longer. And I think we're starting to see everybody. And I think that maybe... equating to some of the lows that some of the other players are having, in that they're all looking for answers because last year it just clicked and it was just there and they just expected the same thing to happen this year.
Yeah, we're caught up too because our job is to definitely scrutinize the teams and the differences between a year in and year out. I mean, what ifs, the ands, the buts about every team. It is every single year when you start a new season, you can't look back. Mm-hmm. And this team, We've said it before. You've said it. I've said it. Look where this team was in December. Stop comparing. We were waiting for January, waiting for a new month. They are in an easier stretch in their schedule.
Undoubtedly so.
The Blazers should be better right now. This is a critical month. We said January and February were going to be the months that you go, who is this real team? Is it a mediocre team? Are they a tanking team? I don't believe in tanking. Tanking is a joke. None of those guys are tanking in that locker room. But Mason is right. There's a lack of belief. There's a lack of confidence. There's a lack of they know what they're doing. And that's just kind of what teams go through, the ebbs and flows. It's the emotions of a locker room. And it can take over. It could be, there could be some turmoil between players. There can be some differences of opinions. There could be guys that are now speaking up because they feel like they deserve the platform more.
Yep.
Okay, there's a lot of things that could go on.
So where do you go from here? Where do you go from here? What do you do? Do you make a move? Can you part ways with one of those two guys in your backcourt? It's Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, man.
Well, what's
they've
the...
done? They've done one thing that only one other duo has done in the NBA this year. They are the second duo, backcourt duo, or any duo to score 1,000 points in the NBA this year.
They're Kevin an elite Durant, backcourt.
Steph Curry are the only other one.
No, Dame and CJ are elite backcourt.
Not defensively.
The deficiencies that are here with the Blazers is clear. They do not have a dominant number three player.
Yes.
They do not have somebody that when they are double teamed and they leave Al-Farouq Aminu up, who's an excellent defender, okay? You're not going to rely on Al-Farouq Aminu to be able to make shots for you day in and day out. Evan Turner's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Alan Crabb can come off the bench. He's very good. Could he be that? I don't know. I don't know if he's physically built to be able to handle the rigors of being a bona fide starter game in and game out. That is what's missing in this piece, an inside game, a dominant guy that you can lean on.
You know, everybody says, every Batman needs a Robin. Mm. Well, the way that the NBA works is, you know, Batman and Robin still would have died a bunch if they didn't have the Batmobile, right? You need that third weapon.
Well,
you need it.
Or you have to be an absolute bulldog. And the only one in the league right now is Russell Westbrook. He is a bulldog, and he will get his at any time.
Yeah.
He doesn't grow on trees. That doesn't happen.
No.
Guys like that just don't show up.
But let's not act like the Thunder or this juggernaut.
They're not.
They're not by any stretch of the imagination. But you know what they have? They have that guy who can manufacture that energy. You call him a bulldog, tenacity.
He's got an edge, man.
A chip.
He's got a constant edge.
That is that energy that we were talking about with this team. You can manufacture it. It is the biggest thing that's missing, and energy and effort are different. You can try real hard and not have energy.
Who scares you on the Blazers? Think about it. When you're matching up versus the Clippers, remember we were watching, and I'm going to bring the Clippers in because I think Crawford understands this. I saw the Clippers and the Blazers get excited one time, and I saw the Blazers bow their back and puff out their chest, and they played a great game, and they went up against bullies. That's what the Clippers are. They have an edge to them.
I'm not going
to
lie. I don't... They're,
but who scares you on the Blazers roster?
Right now, it's not Damian Lillard. Like, that is the guy. Last year, would have been terrified to go up against
Lillard. Yeah, man.
I would have been terrified.
He could have dropped 40 on you at times.
But right now, it just is something doesn't look right.
Yeah.
And you know, you can see it fighting through that pick where he gets that baseline pick from Zeller, and he can't fight around it, can't get over the top, can't get through
no
it.
No switch.
Closing out on the defensive end. You know, just shots that, those momentum-changing shots just not falling. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's examples where you can say something's just not right. You can see it. You can see, when was the last time he tapped his wrist and it was Lillard time? Take over a game. They were down by 7 last night in the third quarter. That energy, that boost, would have been Damian Lillard coming out, taking over early in the fourth.
Well, you have to get a defensive stop. Anybody can score, right? This team's about scoring, but you got to have stops.
Yep.
I was just going to say confidence, man. Like, it wasn't just last game. It's been for a while, and I know people like to pick on Myers Leonard, but there was a time, I think he was guarded by Ramon Sessions or someone in the post, and he dished it out to Aminu to shoot a three, and then, what was it, last Friday against the Magic? Remember in that crunch time possession when he put up the floater instead of going up strong?
Yeah, man.
Attack
the rim and slam it down his throat.
I'm not just singling out Myers Leonard, but it's everyone right now, and it's exactly what you said.
A lot of you-know-what and vinegar coming out
of
right
you're
now.
7-1, dude. Get in there. What are you shooting a floater for? I love Myers. I do, but man, you got to take it to the next level. I've seen him make one dunk this year where he attacked the rim.
It's a confidence thing.
You got to go.
Undoubtedly,
a guy,
so,
okay,
yeah.
take a guy like Jamal Crawford, right, who gets criticized for being a chucker and putting up too many shots, blah, blah, blah. A dude like that, though, never lacks confidence. You need the Blazers right now, to me, don't have a guy that's coming in with that swagger that's like...
Yeah, man. Give me the ball.
And I almost... I expect a little bit more out of Evan Turner from that, because that's kind of the guy he's been in other... Like, you know, he's Evan Turner.
But
he's a cocky dude.
There is a short hook. There's a short
hook. That's a good point.
Because
well, everybody's what's the rotation, right?
You don't know. You don't know where you stand because guys will go stretches where they don't see minutes for a long time.
Exactly.
Like, remember, but last year, remember when they were riding that wave, had that energy, had that pit bull. It was be ready, stay ready. Remember Maurice Harkless went a month without playing.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden came he got in, his time.
Became,
but
became
an injury started. Happened. But it took an injury.
But he got those minutes. Mm-hmm. He stayed ready. He was ready because he had confidence because he knew those minutes weren't going to leave, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it, and it's guys trying to find their skin. And, you know, for Terry Stotts, people will blame Terry Stotts with shorten your bench. With who? And that's the hardest part about what Stotts is trying to do is who do you go to right now when nobody has
he's
shows
to find
consistency?
Him. Yeah, he's trying to find – he's giving guys opportunities to get out there.
This is a thing where the hardest part for fans right now, you don't know where to point the finger.
Yeah, it's confusing.
You don't know where. And that is frustrating.
It's collective.
Well, it's the symptoms of a losing team right now, where it's not just one thing.
Confidence,
and
emotions, belief, all those things, too.
It all bleeds into each other, and then, I don't know.
Hey, but they're all getting paid ungodly amounts of money, so that at least they got that.
Guy, sounds like a guy who's a little upset he didn't get guaranteed contracts.
No, I'm not upset about it. I'm kidding. Would anybody want a guaranteed contract? You dang right you would.
Now, I mean, the text line 55305 points it out because everyone's texting in a different problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
And everyone's, you know,
everyone doesn't. Yeah,
we've gotten coaching.
Searching.
We've gotten coaching. We've gotten O'Shea. We've gotten Myers needs to go.
We've
CJ needs to
Trey
go.
Trey Damian Lillard.
Lillard needs to go. You know, should have kept Batum and Rolo. Oh, yeah.
We missed Gerald Henderson. Who thought Gerald Henderson would be a recurring name that came up?
Well, the only reason why that is because it's a whole confluence of events, and that's the only thing that's different is Evan Turner is in and Gerald Henderson is out.
I'm just going to say it. Chris Kaman.
There's
no leadership from a veteran out there. Chris Kaman, the grizzled veteran.
They miss the big ginger, huh?
Bring Could be,
back.
Man.
I'm telling you.
At this point.
What are you talking about?
We on Talking Ball last night, we got a Facebook viewer comment. They also miss things in the coaching staff. The viewer question was, Jay Triano being gone?
Mm-hmm.
And assistant coach is gone. I mean, there's a lot of things that you kind of look at. The NBA trying to figure out how to defend Golden State is a huge thing because there's a semblance of that with Portland's offense, a three-heavy offense. That's what people are focusing on now.
I think some teams are so distraught that they can't beat the Cavs or... Well, let's just call it what it is, Golden State Warriors. They just look at it and goes, well, if we can't beat them this year, we'll just, I don't know. Can't beat them.
Can't beat them what?
Just can't beat them.
Well, they're figuring out ways to defend them, and they can't figure out Golden State or Cleveland, but they've done a well enough job to defend lesser talented teams.
Well, guess what? Great coaches and great teams don't think that way. Just ask San Antonio. They don't think that way.
What way?
Giving up. If you can't beat them, well, what the heck? And I'm not saying the Blazers have given up.
I never said that.
No, I'm just saying. Great
I'll take
teams,
it a step further. I'll say great coaches and great teams don't think we have to become more like them. They say we have to become our blank. Maybe it's becoming a three-point shooting team. But
do what we do.
It's becoming a three-point shooting league.
Yeah, but the Spurs have always done, and the Spurs are a great three-point shooting team, but the Spurs have always spurred.
Yeah, but in figuring out how to slow down Golden State, teams have adapted to the perimeter sets, and Golden State has forced that issue. And so what the Blazers do isn't as unique anymore. It isn't as unique as it used to be. All right, we put a bow on the show, get you set for the day on the fan. Keep your text coming in at 55305. How many college athletes do you think gamble? A survey has the answers. Survey says that is next on the fan.
From my heart and from my hand, why don't people understand my intention?
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
If you're driving your car right now and you're not bobbing your head just a little bit, giddy up. Huh? Something's wrong with you.
Doesn't even have his license, Lisa.
Dang it.
Dang it. This is right up there in one of the most... I'm very nostalgic with this movie.
I've never seen this movie.
Are you kidding me?
I'm so sorry.
Will you...
Please don't beat
Crawford,
me after the
get
show.
Your butt.
No, you know what?
You make sure you get home. I don't think it's on Netflix, but you find it.
I'll find it. I'll find it. I have a video rental store membership.
You're going to appreciate this movie.
All right.
I was thinking about watching a movie
Bill
today.
Bill Paxton's in this movie.
Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
His name is Chet.
Wow. Yeah, he is. He's the older brother.
And he's a douche in the movie.
Yeah.
It's kind of douchey.
All right. How many college male athletes across all sports and all divisions do you think have admitted that they gamble on sports?
College male athletes,
all
divisions.
Divisions.
How many, the percentage?
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw out a number.
All divisions, all sports have admitted to gambling.
85%.
On sports?
Yeah. Because all of them play fantasy football or sports or something.
No. No. Okay. I will throw this out there for you.
Yeah.
75% of them do not believe daily fantasy sites or fantasy sports are okay. Gambling.
Well, that changes.
That changes.
That changes.
It. Okay, that takes a big. That takes a,
that
big,
takes a big
chunk out of
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
30%.
No, you're closer there. It is 24%. Okay. So almost a quarter of male athletes in the NCAA, all divisions, all sports, have gambled on sports, according to this survey, which is pretty alarming, seeing as every season starts with a seminar on things, and one of them that they tell you, and they make sure, like, there's a few things that the
don't
that
gamble
that your compliance person will do, and it's hey, focus, do not gamble on sports.
If you fill out a bracket, is that gambling in college sports? Yeah.
Okay. Now,
Rick Neuheisel.
Yes. Now, do you know which sport is the most problematic sport in the NCAA?
Men's,
this is easy.
Basketball.
You're gonna
Oh, wait a minute.
You're gonna punch yourself for not getting this right.
Well,
baseball.
Which sport is gambled on
it's
the
gotta
most?
Gotta be baseball.
No.
I'm not gonna keep throwing out sports. Just tell me.
Golf. It's golf.
Golf. Of
golf.
Gosh dang it. You're golf. So right. Because every day you're out $5, $5 Nassau, yep. 555.
Yep. Golf. Is the most problematic game.
Of course, because there's nothing fun if you're not putting something on the line.
Right?
I don't care if it's for some Jolly Ranchers, for gosh sakes.
Yeah.
We're playing $2 NASA.
Yeah. Okay, two quick notes before we go. The first one, I found out the elevation of War Memorial Stadium in Laramie, Wyoming, which we talked about earlier. 7,220 feet.
Woo!
That's where the University of Wyoming plays.
Well,
Oregon will play
there. Up there.
Yeah, it's going to be a little thin. That is 1.36 miles above sea level.
It's way up there. How do you train for that?
To put that in perspective, University of South Florida, where Willie Taggart was coaching last year, they played at Raymond James Stadium, which is below sea level.
Yeah, but it's hot there in Atlanta. Would you rather play in altitude or heat?
You mean Tampa.
I'm sorry, Tampa.
Yeah.
Altitude or heat?
Altitude?
Okay.
Altitude. And then my second note is Oregon earlier this week announced the hiring of David Reeves from South Florida. He is the brother of Layla Reeves, which is formerly Layla Kiffin, Lane Kiffin's ex-wife. That is his sister. And wow. I believe Dan Reeves is his uncle. So there you go.
It's all intertwined.
Now you know. And knowledge is power. All right. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 to 9 a.m. Football Friday edition gets you set for Conference Championship weekend. Up next is The Herd with Colin Cowherd, 9 to noon, noon to 3. Durant's Break, 3 to 7. It's primetime with Isaac and Suk on the Fan.
I had a beer at the middle school.
I would have slapped you in the face, said you're an idiot.
I do like nuts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.